hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Lockhart. Joining me this evening is my co-hosts in crime. First up, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Doing good. And last but not least, we have Mr. Kevin Decent. How's it going, Kevin?
Going all right. I think all of the turkey leftovers are finally gone.
Yeah, you lucky Americans, you guys got to have Thanksgiving. The Canadian Thanksgiving is the second weekend in October. It's actually the Monday after that weekend. So, yeah, I envy you guys because I would love to have Thanksgiving at the end of November as well. I like our Canadian Thanksgiving, but I would also like to celebrate the American Thanksgiving as well. Do you guys know why there's a difference in the Thanksgivings?
I feel like it was something I used to know at some point.
All right. Well, the difference being, in Canada, our harvest is earlier than it is in the United States because of, obviously, the colder climate. So usually by Thanksgiving weekend, the harvest is done prior to Thanksgiving Day, and then, that weekend in Canada is supposed to be, the last weekend of harvest, and then we celebrate by giving thanks on the Monday. But to be honest with you, Canadian harvests kind of go a little bit longer now. I don't want to say global warming, but I don't know. It seems like the winters don't come as early as they used to. Like, I shouldn't say that. They do come early, but they're not as bad as they used to be, it seems. And then, of course, in the United States, it's the same thing. Like, you guys, your harvests are later than ours because of the warmer climate. So then you have Thanksgiving later. But you guys have it on a Thursday for some reason. I'm not sure what the significance there, but.
Well, I mean, because of Black Friday, obviously.
Yeah, maybe.
Saying Black Monday or Tuesday just doesn't sound as good.
Well, yeah, and I guess there's Cyber Monday. You couldn't have it on a Monday because of Cyber Monday. There'd be a lot of confusion there too, right? I'm sure the Pilgrims had that in mind.
Right, yes. You know what's sad, though, is the my calendars that I have on my phone. Mm-hmm. It has all the federal holidays and everything else, and it has Thanksgiving, and right behind it, Black Friday is now marked as holiday. I'm like, really?
I ended up having both off, and I guess part of the rationale is so many people requested off, call off, whatever, anyways. It's just such a lost productivity day.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to just close it than deal with it.
See, yeah. I'd be all for it being a holiday if I got paid for it. Like, if it was a stat holiday, I would love that. I'm assuming you guys get stat holidays down in the States. Christmas Day, do you guys get paid for it? Like, for having the day off?
I mean, it would depend on the place you're working at. It's not like a blanket overall for everything.
See, various
it counts as one of them.
Okay, yeah, like up in Canada, they have a laundry list of days that are stat holidays where employers have to either give you the day off, or if you have to work, they have to pay you. For myself, where I work, if I work Christmas Day, I get paid triple time for working it.
Damn!
But I think I think in Canada, the minimum, they have to pay you at least double time if you work it, minimum. I work for a nice company that pays me triple. So, but there's, I think a lot of our holidays are similar, but they may have different names between Canada and the U.S. Like we were just talking about Remembrance Day. Like down there, I believe it's Veterans Day for you guys, November 11th. Yeah. So similar holiday, but different name. But all right. Well, We are coming up to the Christmas season at the time of this recording. The holidays are among us. But before we talk about anything dated, we'll get, like, the way this podcast works, and I'm talking to you, dear listener, because to quote Stan Lee, every comic book is someone's first comic book, right? So my rationale is every podcast episode is someone's first podcast episode of that podcast. So you may be checking us out for the first time as you hear this. Maybe at the time of its release. It could be 4 years in the future, assuming that, I'm still paying for the server to hold these episodes. That being said, the way this podcast works is we will have a main topic at the start of the episode, and then at the end of the episode, we'll have a segment we call Enders, which is basically, the topic is a universal topic that really isn't dated at all. So, like this episode, for example, we're going to be talking about the Mandela Effect. And then for our Ender segment, we're going to be talking about more dated material. At the time of this recording, it is December 2019. So if you're listening to this 4 years from now, you're not going to care about us talking about the Black Widow trailer. You're already going to know, how the Rise of Skywalker ends. And, you're already going to see the new James Bond movie. By then, there might be another James Bond movie. Maybe there might be a whole new James Bond. I don't know. It's hard to say. So this first part of this episode, you can listen to any time. 4 years from now, 10 years from now, who knows? And then the Enders is our more dated material. So I'll let you know when we get to the Ender segment, and then that'll be your cue to either continue listening because you're listening to it at the time of its release, so it's relevant. But if it's not, you can check out and still enjoy this podcast. All right. Without further ado, let's get into talking about the Mandela Effect. Now, the reason why I proposed this episode to the guys is this was a topic we were actually talking about this at work. We had like a work luncheon, and there was a whole bunch of us there, and we're all talking about the Mandela Effect, all the different things. For those who don't know what the Mandela Effect is, I got a little write-up on it. There's an article available at theconversation.com where you can talk about, where it talks about the Mandela Effect. Have you ever been convinced that something is a particular way only to discover you've remembered it all wrong? If so, it sounds like you've experienced the phenomenon known as the Mandela Effect. This is a form of collective misremembering of common events or details, and this first emerged in 2010 when countless people on the internet falsely remembered Nelson Mandela was dead. It was widely believed he had died in prison during the 1980s, when in reality, Mandela was actually freed in 1990 and passed away in 2013, despite some people's claims they remember clips of his funeral on TV. So this phenomenon actually began 3 years before Nelson Mandela actually passed away. Now for you guys, which way do you remember this? Do you remember Nelson Mandela dying in the 1980s in prison, or do you remember him dying in
2013? I don't remember him dying at all. Like beforehand. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember that.
Kev, what about you? Do you remember this at all?
I remember 2013 as well. And I don't... If I was a little older, I would have remembered, when he was first put into prison or being more well-known. The first time I was aware of him was his release. Mm-hmm. Because that was huge news, which I think is where people get the confusion going on. I remember his death when it actually happened. And when the Mandela Effect concept started coming out, I'm reading, much like you read, and I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Of course he died then. I don't know why people are remembering things these ways. And then you get into the other examples, and that's when I said, oh my God, I thought this was true. I thought that was true. I thought that was how things were. And now I'm you know, deep in the rabbit hole.
Yes. Well, for myself, I totally remember Nelson Mandela being released from prison. I remember, it being 1990, so I was like 10 years old. I remember it was on CBC, and I remember my mom watching it and telling me to remember this, and I was like, why? And she's like, this is an important event in history, Nelson Mandela being released from prison. So that was my first remembrance of Nelson Mandela, and I also remember him being president of South Africa for a few years. But yeah, I honestly, my first hearing of the Mandela effect was actually in, I can't remember if it was season 10 or season 11 of The X-Files. Like when they did the newer seasons here just a few years ago, they actually did an episode about the Mandela effect. I'm just trying to remember if it's tied into that episode where this guy shows up and he basically tells Scully and Mulder that he's been with them. He's been their third partner the whole time. And they actually, like, redid the title sequence with him in it. And then, like, they show different scenes from previous seasons, like from the 90s, where he's in those scenes with them. But they can't remember him. Yeah, it's an awesome episode. I really enjoyed it. I can't remember if that's the same episode or if I'm remember. I don't know. Anyway, that's how when I first got exposed to the Mandela effect was in one of those new seasons of The X-Files. All right, well, let's go over some examples of things that we may have misremembered, and then we'll end our discussion by maybe talking about what we think is going on here. Like, if there's, like, a broader reason for us experiencing this phenomenon, if it is a phenomenon at all. All right, so some of the examples I have. Jif peanut butter. Do you guys remember Jif, that is J-I-F, peanut butter? Do you ever remember it being Jiffy peanut butter?
Jiffy?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I remember calling it that, but yeah. I don't.
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I just remember it being Jif. But then when I saw the picture where it actually they showed like a picture of Jiffy peanut butter, and that also looked familiar to me too.
Yeah, that's because I've never called it that. I've always known it as Jif, but I saw that mock-up picture as well, and I thought, why does that look familiar?
Yes, exactly.
My best thought is maybe a movie or a TV show did that as their not brand name, you know, so they didn't have to pay like a sponsor money or whatever. And yeah. That's in our brains. I don't know. Or, you know, later in the episode when we get to our theories about it, like, you know, got a whole other thing.
Okay. So another example I have, do you guys have the well, I think we mentioned this on our last episode, the Bernstein Bears.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I used to collect those all. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I always used to call them the Berenstein Bears.
Berenstein Bears, yeah.
But they're actually the Berenstain Bears. So the spelling being Berenstain. But I remember it being Berenstein, stain, like Berenstain. Berenstein, sorry. That's how I remember it, but it's actually stain, Berenstain. Another example is Febreze.
That tripped me up today.
Yeah, like the spray. Is actually the spelling of Febreze is actually F-E-B-R-E-Z-E, not F-E-B-R-E-E-Z-E. Like, I always, like, you know, breeze. Like, I assume there's two E's in there, but there's not.
Yeah.
And again, when they showed the mock-up of the two pictures, the real one and the false one looked familiar to me. Like, I kind of remember that. Like, I don't know what's going on here. also, you guys remember the comedian Sinbad?
Oh, yes.
From yes, A Different World. I know.
Different World was his biggest crossover role.
And I know he did some movies in the 90s. But apparently, and one I thought I remembered was him playing a genie in a movie. But apparently that never happened.
Was it? It was like at Shazam, not to be confused with Shaquille O'Neal's genie movie.
Yeah.
Kazam?
Kazam, for Shaq, yeah.
So, yeah, there was...
What's funny though about that is like people say that, but it's like I remember him. I really do remember Sinbad playing a genie at some point.
Yeah,
I literally have that mental picture in my head, and I'm just kind of like, so now it's like I really want to dig up and figure out what.
Well, and like the mental picture I'm seeing is I'm seeing him wearing a turban, and his arms crossed. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, him with the, you know, like the floating cloud or whatever, right? Like, that's how I remember it, but, yeah, apparently that never happened. Also, the Monopoly Man does not have a monocle.
That messed me up bad.
It did. As when we mentioned it last podcast,
yep.
I literally went and I grabbed the oldest version of Monopoly we had, and I went through all the chance cards. Like, I went through everything. I'm like, I know, like, I really have the memory of the get out of jail free card as the cops dragging him away and the monocle kind of flopping around behind him. But no, that's not the case. Like, he does not have a monocle. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
that was really kind of a reality check there.
Yep. And then, yeah, like there's been a few that were brought up at my work, which I was able to counteract. Like, apparently people, you know, watching The Empire Strikes Back, everyone thought that Darth Vader said, "Luke, I am your father."
Yeah.
And I immediately knew that was wrong because I've watched that movie probably 200 times in my life. And I actually just rewatched it again this last weekend. But yeah, of course the line is always, you know, "I am your father," not "Luke, I am your father." I don't know why people thought that, but.
Well, it's kind of like C-3PO being completely gold when he has a silver leg.
Yeah, that one, as a kid, for years, I never picked up on that. I never picked up on that until, I want to say, like, the early 2000s. Because I remember watching...
I'm wondering if that's the quality of what we were watching it at the time, because it's not like we were watching, you know, Blu-ray or 4K of that, or the quality of the toys, too.
I'm thinking, yeah, because we used to watch it in standard definition on TV sets that were not the best picture quality. I don't think it was until I think it was when the DVDs started coming out and they started releasing it. Like, so I want to say like 2004-ish. I remember watching a special feature where they talked about it, like that he had always had a silver leg and nobody realized it. So yeah, like I do remember that, but again, it took years for that. It definitely didn't stand out like the red arm or whatever that he had in
The
Force Awakens. But do you guys have any other examples you want to throw out there before we start going into our theories? All right.
I have, like...
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I had to stifle a cough first. I have personal ones that I can think of that drive me insane. And because they're not widespread, I wouldn't count it. But there's things where I'm like, well, no, this took place in this year because these other events also took place in this year. And then I look it up and I'm 1 to 5 years apart. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, how do I remember being in, you know, this location when this happened? I have a memory of, oh, this is when I did that trip, and I was in a hotel room, and this thing was on TV, mm-hmm. and then I look, and the two events are 3 years apart. I thought, I have a vivid memory of being in a hotel in this trip and this year watching this thing, so I don't know, but I mean, that's just personal. Mandela effect is widespread. But well, the one that's... Sorry, go ahead. Then I'll come back to a widespread one.
Like, we'll get into our theories, but like one of the, not to get in too much into it, but one of the theories is memory. The you know, that our memories become distorted, and for whatever reason, collectively, our memories are becoming distorted. So, anyway, continue.
A widespread one. It was a different podcast earlier this year was taken that released the Snyder Cut mm-hmm. stuff.
Yep.
And they said, forget about Snyder Cut. What I want is release the Smokey is the Bandit Cut. Now, not just the franchise I'm, you know, huge fan of, just one I'm aware of, are the Burt Reynolds Smokey and the Bandit movies.
Mm-hmm.
One and two were big hits. They did a third. Burt Reynolds wanted nothing to do with it. So the idea was that Smokey, Jackie Gleason, was the one avoiding the law and having to complete this mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing that in the role reversal. But apparently the movie that actually came out is not that at all. It's him as the law, as the authority figure, chasing after someone else. So there is a rumor that there's this other cut of a role reversal that has never come out, that's in a vault that no one has. And I swear I remember Smokey is the Bandit, and it was on HBO and posters and move, you know, in the theater and ads in the TV guide. And I've, you know, when it made its way and everything, and the little HBO/Cinemax magazines they would send in the mail to say what's on that month. I swear I have multiple memories of this, but nope. Apparently just like the Snyder Cut currently is, it's unreleased. It's in a vault. No one's seen it. But I swear I remember this movie from my childhood, or this version of it.
Interesting. Like, I was never a big Smokey and the Bandit fan, so I have no remembrance. Like, I remember the first movie, kind of, but I know my parents loved Smokey and the Bandit. One that... I don't remember seeing it, but I just remember my cousin talking about it, and I wanted to see it. And that was a third Conan the Barbarian movie called King Conan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that never actually happened. That was never a thing. But my cousin swore up and down that he saw this movie about Arnold Schwarzenegger as King Conan, where he's the king, and how awesome it was. And, you know, years later, like, you know, when I was, you know, when we had the started getting the internet and whatnot, I looked it up and there's no such thing. Like, I'm hoping we get one now. Like, I know Arnold has said that he wants to do a King Conan movie. He actually did a little...
I think you absolutely could do that at his current age.
Oh, yeah. Well, he actually did a video where he picked up... It was one of the issues of the new Conan series from Marvel, where the story was about King Conan, and you see someone reading this comic book, and then it pans back and you see it's Arnold reading about King Conan. And then, you know, the gist of it was, I think he tweeted that or something, and he said something like, "I'm ready. Let's do it."
Yeah.
So I think that would be fantastic. Another one that was mentioned was apparently in Snow White, everyone remembers her saying, "Mirror, mirror on the wall." But she actually says, "Magic mirror on the wall." She doesn't say "mirror, mirror" at all. So... I mean, I'm not the biggest Snow White fan, but even I remember Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. But, no. Do you guys have any other misremembrances from your childhood that you want to throw out there? All right. Well, let's move on to our theories then. Do you guys have any theories you want to share? Should we do a roundtable? We go around and everyone throws a theory out. Okay. So my one theory, I'll kick it off here. One theory, I have a number of theories, but one theory is alternate realities. Now, what I think is going on is I think this is a theory I've held on to for years, even predating the Mandela effect here. Now, have you ever just been sitting there or, you know, say you're walking or whatever, and all of a sudden you get this pain in your arm out of nowhere. It's like someone punched you in the arm and then it goes away. Have you ever had anything like that? It could be your arm, it could be your leg, you know, it could be whatever. Or all of a sudden you get this really bad headache out of nowhere. Have you ever had that happen to you guys?
Yeah. The pains and stuff, yeah. Or a sharp pain in the side of the head.
I thought it was just getting old.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, this goes back many years. Like, I mean, as a kid, all of a sudden, yeah, you just get a big pain in your arm, and it's like, ow, like, what the hell happened? And then it goes away. My theory is that, there is a multiverse. I've always thought there's a multiverse out there. You know, an infinite multiverse where anything that could happen does happen somewhere else in the multiverse. So my theory is that, there's a Chris Lockhart in, infinite number of universes, and we're all somehow connected. We're all binded together somehow, like on a quantum level, if you will. And if something bad happens to one of them and another Chris Lockhart in another universe, and it's so traumatic that I can feel it, that I can feel a piece of it. So, like, say I'm walking along, all of a sudden I get, like, the shooting pain in my arm. It's like, ow, where the hell did that come from? Maybe in another universe, Chris Lockhart broke his arm. And the pain is being felt, on a quantum level, and it affects me, if only briefly. That being said, if we're connected to other selves of ourselves, if that makes any sense, maybe we also sometimes can share in their memories, so maybe us, for example, mirror on the wall, maybe in another universe that is what she says. GIF, maybe in another universe is called Jiffy. Maybe the Berenstain Bears are the Berenstain Bears in another universe, and that's how we remember it, because we're connected to, on a quantum level, we're connected to our other selves in that other universe. Alternate universe, multiverse, that's kind of where I was going there. Kevin, do you have a theory?
I'm going to expand on yours and then go into a lighter one, I guess. But I do think there is, your multiverse, alternate realities and all. I think Fringe, the TV show Fringe, gave a mm-hmm. great look at that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And things being just a little bit different. And what I think is that, because the more and more science progresses now, the more and more it seems like at this point it would be prove there isn't a multiverse. All the evidence is going one way. It's more challenging to say that there isn't one. Mm-hmm. But I think there's certain spots where there's like a bleed through. And one of the best examples I saw was someone said, imagine, like a magician and he has all these bubbles. Just the soap and water making a bubble, and then they blow smoke into it. and it's contained within there, but then they'll, you know, maybe they make another bubble and attach them and can move the smoke through until the other one. The bubbles are still secure. They're still stable. Mm-hmm. They still keep their shape. But something's moving back and forth. So it's almost like each reality has its own membrane. But in certain spots, it's a little weaker and things mix in. So that's more where I'm going with mm-hmm. for the more fantastic idea. But then there's also, I think we got to blame the internet for a lot of this. In that, you know, like we can sit around and talk about Star Wars would probably be the furthest back.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can go a little bit further back with things. But there's no pop culture blog where someone's like, hey, here's my old Howdy Doody toys. You know, hey, I found some old reel-to-reel up in the attic. Let's talk about it. The way that we'll be like, oh, hey, I found these old VHS. Hey, I found my old Star Wars toys, whatever it might be. So we also kind of have a limit of, you can even just say, from 1977 on, we have our collective pop culture that we're all aware of. But before it, and even that's not clear, as a C-3PO reference goes, but before that, stuff's a little cloudier and a little murkier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think things like Snow White, you saw it once in the theater, you paid your 10 cents or your nickel, and that was it. And maybe a couple of years later you saw it again. But then you have like the wonderful world of Disney or the Disney Channel. And I remember their Halloween was the mirror talking to you. Like the face mm-hmm. inside the mirror was your Halloween host.
Yep.
So if that mirror said mirror, mirror on the wall, or someone said it to the mirror, that then becomes our touchstone for Snow White. When I'm not watching Snow White, I'm watching a character from Snow White play something else.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, I played Mickey's Christmas Carol the other day, and my kid's like, why is Mickey doing this? And I was like, well, Mickey's not Mickey right now. Mickey's pretending to be someone else right now. So I can't say Mickey and Minnie are married and have three children, because they don't. Bob Cratchit does.
But if, so, yeah. But if that's all you ever
mirror,
saw...
They have not said mirror, mirror.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was going to say, but if that's all you ever saw of Mickey, you would assume that's his backstory.
Yeah. So if I watch this Disney Halloween thing and there's mirror, mirror on it, and the mirror's in Snow White, I'm thinking mm-hmm. that's from Snow White.
Yeah.
So I think internet is kind of like clearing stuff up, or even just an outlet of, oh, hey, I remember that too. I thought I was the only one that remembered that. No one else I'm around with remembers that.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's just like 1% of the population all thinks the same thing, that's enough people. You might be the only person in your family or in your town that thinks this is true, but you go online and all of a sudden you find thousands, if not millions of people around the world that also thought that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But then sometimes even your family, like when it's something that isn't significant to them, they may not remember it at all. For example, I've mentioned this several times on several episodes on several different podcasts, but Turkey McNuggets, you know, I know my sister was with me for at least one of those stops, you know, like, cause like I've mentioned before, like, so to give some backstory for anyone that hasn't heard this story before, back in 1997, from October till the end of December, McDonald's in Alberta, I'm going to say just Alberta, because I live in Alberta, I never went in anywhere else, in northern Alberta, was serving Turkey McNuggets as like a holiday promotion, and you could get cranberry dipping sauce with it. And I remember it because I love turkey, I'm a big turkey fan, and I loved it, and I remember getting the cranberry dipping sauce, and the reason why I ate so much McDonald's back in those days is because I was 17 years old, and my grandma, I can't remember, she was having surgery. I can't remember what it was, like on her knee or something like that. I can't remember. So, you know, me being 17 years old, you know, I was recruited to do most of the driving for her. Like I had to go pick her up and drive her into the city. And then you know, I had to go back and forth quite a few times. And being 17 years old, not a lot of money, you know, I used to go stop at McDonald's. That's where we would go for our lunch or supper, whatever, you know, whatever the time was. So I hit up McDonald's a lot during that time, and I bought a lot of Turkey McNuggets. I remember it. I remember thinking, this is awesome. You know, it's going to be a seasonal thing. You know, it might even, you know, if it becomes popular enough, you know, they might just have Turkey McNuggets year round. You know, I was excited, and then it never came back. And so, you know, years later, I think it was when I did a guest spot on Nerd Lunch, and we were talking about, I brought this up anyway, and they couldn't find any evidence of it. And I did my own research, and I couldn't find any evidence of this. So I actually sent an email off to McDonald's Canada to get some verification. You know, like maybe they could send me, you know, like some promotion pictures, or, you know, give me a link to, you know, one of the commercials, because I remember seeing it advertised on TV. And McDonald's Canada came back and said they could find no evidence that this happened. They did, however, say that just because they cannot find any evidence doesn't mean it didn't happen. Because the email that they sent me, I think it was a lady. The lady said that McDonald's will try different things in certain, you know, areas just to see if it'll pick up, right? Like if it'll become popular. Like, for example, like the McRib was, you know, introduced somewhere, and then it became so popular that it got, you know, introduced elsewhere, and it kind of snowballed from there. She said it's possible that this happened, but it didn't. It wasn't profitable for McDonald's, so they abandoned it. But I just find it weird that they wouldn't have some sort of like file on it or something, you know. Because they had to have spent money on it.
Look at the Collecting Candy blog, where he finds all these wrappers and advertisements for candy companies that even they have said, we have no record of this in our archives. Can you send it a copy to us as well? Because no one kept any of that stuff.
That's true. Well, I guess when you think about it, like, you know, going back years, the BBC, like, their first, I don't know how many seasons of Doctor Who is gone because they actually recorded over their shows, which is crazy to think like nowadays. But I mean, back then, you know, those reels were huge, right? And they took up a lot of space, and they needed more reels, and they didn't have a lot of space. So they just recorded over what became, you know, a global phenomenon. And now I think there are some people that have copies of Doctor Who. Somehow they had, like, this is predates VCRs, but somehow they recorded it off their TV somehow. And I think they're going back and they're restoring some of it. But, yeah, it's crazy to think that, you know, that they would just get rid of all of that. But yeah, anyway, getting back to the family aspect of it, I was asking my sister because, you know, like, I know she came with me on some of these trips. And she cannot recollect it either. She has no recollection of Turkey McNuggets. So, anyway. Jason, do you have a theory you wanted to throw out there?
Oddly enough, a coworker and me were talking about memories and just kind of, well, basically the Mandela effect. Mm-hmm. Or just how people's memories are completely jumbled, you know, like how you were talking, how you would remember something, but your friend or family member will not remember anything about that.
Yep.
You know, and it's just kind of like, and he was talking about, or some computer or some type of factor, something that was, I can't, for life of me, I'm going to have to ask him again. But if something was turned on, it was for, like, energy purposes or something, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was turned on many years ago. And he's actually a really big conspiracy. I pick and choose my topics when I talk to him, mm-hmm. because he once you open that door just a little bit, he'll just Sparta kick that thing open, and he'll just like conspiracy theories. Like he is. I mean, if you want a good conversation, or you just want to like just hear someone go off for a while, he's definitely the one. But it was just kind of like we were just talking about it. He just went off, and I'm going to have to ask him again what it was. But he believes that when they turn that switch on, it kind of goes inside with what you were talking about, having multiple different universes. And he says the theory that he has is like when they turned on that power source, it like melded some of the universes together. And that's why people are having problems remembering things. Hadron Collider.
Yes, I think you're talking about the Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Yes, I was also talking to one of my coworkers about this as well, and he threw that out there too. And it kind of makes sense because, you know, all this Mandela effect talk kind of came after that.
True. Yeah.
Because, the Hadron Collider was here. I'm gonna look. Keep going, Jason. I'll jump in.
But I was just talking about, and I mean, like you said, it does kind of make sense because like all the memories and the way people remember certain events happening no longer coincide with what every other person thinks. And it's either, you know, it's a really horrible game of telephone, you know, or it's just like literally thousands and hundreds of people remember the same event, but in different ways. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, you know, it just kind of floored me. Like the more I kept talking, the more it kind of made sense. And I'm just kind of like, oh, so I was going to do, you know, kind of look it up and read more on it because I didn't really quite know. And it just kind of struck me. I'm like, that would actually explain a lot of, it's either as people as a whole or just getting dumber, which is possible, or it's just, you know, something is completely askewed.
Well, according to Wikipedia, the Hadron Collider first went live September 10th, 2008, but initial testing was delayed for 14 months from September 19th, 2008 to November 20th, 2009. So think about that. November 20th, 2009, and then the Mandela effect became, you know, that phrase became coined in 2010. So shortly after this thing went operational, we started talking about this kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's a coincidence. The Large Hadron Collider. The Large Hadron Collider is the world's largest and highest energy particle collider and the largest machine in the world. It was built by the European Organization for Nuclear Research, also known as CERN, between 1998 and 2008, in collaboration with over 10,000 scientists and hundreds of universities and laboratories, as well as more than 100 countries. It lies in a tunnel 27 kilometers in circumference and as deep as 175 meters beneath the France-Switzerland border near Geneva. First collisions were achieved in 2010 at an energy of 3.5 tera-electron volts per beam, about four times the previous world record. After upgrades, it reached 6.5 TeV per beam. And at the end of 2018, it entered a two-year shutdown period for further upgrades. So the purpose of the Hadron Collider. Many physicists hope that the Large Hadron Collider will help answer some of the fundamental open questions in physics which concern the basic laws governing the interactions and forces among the elementary objects, the deep structure of space and time, and in particular, the interrelation between quantum mechanics and general relativity. So I don't know. Like, I'm not the smartest guy in the room here, but from what I'm hearing, you know, they're talking about space and time. They're talking quantum mechanics and general relativity. It kind of sounds like we might have our culprit here, I'm thinking. Like, the guy I was talking to at work, he had this theory that when they brought this thing online, that we're actually connected, I can't remember exactly how he put this, but we're actually connected to this other Earth that's, like, it's part of us. It's here, it's with us, we don't see it because we exist on a different plane of existence than that Earth does, right? And he thinks that when they brought this thing online, it actually destroyed that other Earth. So we're actually remembering things that happened on that Earth when that happened. So I don't know, like, it's kind of crazy. But it is very odd that this thing went online just as this Mandela effect seemed to be, you know, became a thing when it, you know, became well known. But anyway, I have another theory that I'm going to throw out there. It's actually, I got two different theories, but it's attached to the same type of concept of a theory. And that is time travel. Now, the one aspect of time travel, which I will talk about, is the quantum leap effect. You know, I'm sure, you know, you boys are familiar with Quantum Leap, the TV series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Sam Beckett went back through time and changed people's lives, right? Like, he went back and put right what once went wrong, right? But on the final episode, when he, you know, meets, presumably it was God, they never really explained it, but that the bartender who knew everything about Sam and knew about what he had done, and he was actually on the pilot episode. I can't remember the actor's name, but he was in Animal House. He's done episodes of Star Trek. He's done episodes of Babylon 5. He's one of them actors that's been in everything. He was in Time Cop, for example. And he's talking with Sam, and he's telling Sam, you know, like, when you went back in time and you changed people's lives, those people changed other lives. And, you know, it went, and it, you know, it was like a snowball effect. Like, you went back, put right what once went wrong, you changed that person's life, and then that person went out and changed other people's lives, and so on and so on. So is it possible that maybe there is somebody traveling through time, you know, it could be like a Sam Beckett type of guy, that's going through time and changing just a few things here and there that have like a snowball effect and a ripple effect that change other things? And because time is changing, you know, we're, the imprint of what was is still in our minds, and that is what we're remembering. We're remembering what was, but not what is now, if that makes any sense. Like, we remember the Monopoly man with the monocle because he did have a monocle, but somebody went back in time and changed something that changed that design. And, you know, whoever is a Parker Brothers or whoever does the Monopoly game, whoever decided on that character's design said, lose the monocle. And they got rid of it. And now it exists. Now that character in that game exists without the monocle, but we remember it because it did exist at one time. So that's one of my time travel theories. My other time travel theory is that, and this gets really complicated, so I'm not going to get into it too much, because I really need a flow chart or something to explain this. One theory that I have, and I think Einstein said something about this too, that this might be a possibility or could be. we perceive time as linear, right? Like we because of our own experiences, our own, you know, like we perceive time as always going forward, right? Because, you know, for us, for example, you know, we look in a mirror, we see ourselves as kids, we see ourselves growing up, we see ourselves getting older, we see the passage of time in ourselves, we see the passage of time in a clock, we see the passage of time in a calendar. You know, it's always moving forward. But what if it's not? What if time is not moving forward? What if, you know, maybe certain aspects of time run concurrently? You know, maybe, you know, for example, I'll just throw a number out there, 1944. Let's say 1944 is running concurrently with 2019. Like, so what's happening in 1944 is in motion. It's happening right now as we speak, but we are not aware of it because we can't perceive it, right? So things that they're doing in 1944 are affecting us in 2019. Like our reality, our world is in a constant state of flux. Like it's always changing. But because of what we are, you know, us being human, we lack the ability to perceive it. Like we do not see the world changing around us because we're changing with it. And these memories that we have, this Mandela effect, is us remembering what was, because it could have been what was 5 minutes ago. But because history's been changed, we've been changed with it, and now it's different. Like I said, that one was pretty heady. Like the whole Quantum Leap Sam Beckett thing, I think was a little bit easier to get behind to understand. But the whole, you know, time running in sync with other time periods, I think, I don't know. To me, it's
innovation is Doc Brown in Back to the Future with the chalkboard drawing all this out.
Well, yeah. Well, the Doc Brown thing would fit more with the Quantum Leap one, where, you know, like they changed something in the past, and now we've created an alternate timeline, right?
Well, what you're saying is we're all like a psycho pirate in DC, and we're remembering the realities pre-crisis.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's a good way, a good example. Yeah, exactly. And another way to kind of visualize what I'm talking about is there's an episode of Star Trek Voyager called Year of Hell, where there's a time ship, captained by Red from That 70s Show, and they literally go, you know, planet to planet, and they erase, you know, culture from history, right? Like they delete it, and then the whole timeline changes. So there's one scene where Voyager is, you know, they meet up with the ship, and you know they're threatening Voyager, and they're shooting at Voyager, and Voyager just kind of laughs it off because their weapons are mediocre, they're not a threat, and then the time ship changes history, so all the time changes, even Voyager. Like this big wave passes through Voyager, and everything's changed. And now Voyager is still nose to nose with this other ship, but now this other ship has advanced weapons. Now they're a warship, and they're attacking Voyager, and Voyager's, you know, taking a pounding. So like literally 30 seconds earlier, they're laughing at them because they're no threat, but now they're a threat. And because history's changed, the Voyager crew doesn't even realize this. They have no remembrance of what happened like 30 seconds earlier. But we, the viewers, because we're, you know, watching the show, we see it. So what I'm saying, like, so to get back to this theory that I had, you know, with us not being able to perceive, you know, the changes around us, it's like that episode of Voyager. Like, they had no idea that history had been changed. But it had just been changed, like literally 30 seconds earlier.
Well, for time, sorry, three of us are having this conversation now and are separated by thousands of miles of distance. Mm-hmm. I can't look out my window and see either of you, but I'm mm-hmm. well aware that you exist right now at a distance that I can't see due to the limits of my own eyesight, the curvature of the earth, darkness.
Yep.
Million reasons. But we're all aware that we all exist right now in this three-dimensional space. So if you take time as a fourth dimension, past, future, present all exist right now, but due to human limitations, we can't perceive it all.
Yeah.
So maybe things like these little effects or deja vu or whatever you want to call it is the limit of what we can perceive, and we know, okay, something's off, something's existing here that should or shouldn't or didn't, but that's as far as my brain can comprehend right now,
mm-hmm.
is this. But I absolutely believe that, much like, length, width, height, or depth or whatever you want to call it there for three dimensions, that there's a time one as well that we just can't move through. And if, we ever made a mental leap, an evolutionary leap, whatever, we could move through that just like I could get in a car and drive to either of you.
Well, that also ties into what I was saying. Like, I think we are moving through it, but we're just moving one way.
Well, look at that, the story that came out that dinosaurs actually existed on the other side of the galaxy because of how all of space spins. So mm-hmm. the Milky Way galaxy has spun over, hundreds of millions of years. Well, if you built a time machine and went back in time to, see a T-Rex, you also have to go through the space of it, too. Because yep. if you just went through time, you're going to end up in a random spot, whatever was in this random spot in the galaxy in the universe 100 million years ago. Earth wasn't mm-hmm. here in this spot. So that's why the TARDIS is time in relative dimensions in space. You need to move the space as well as the time.
And that's where Doctor Who, I think, gets it right. For example, Back to the Future, like the DeLorean. Like, if it actually went through time, because it was not just a different time, but it was also a different date, right? So yep. if it actually went through time, the DeLorean would actually end up in outer space because the Earth would not be there anymore. It would be in a different spot, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, that's some good thinking there. A lot of people don't think about that. And that's, like I said, that's where Doctor Who, I think, kind of gets time travel right. Go ahead.
Then both Back to the Future, because I thought he also kind of went at exact points in time and like coordinates. Didn't he explain that? Like he went to a certain point, an actual destination or action.
Yeah, he did. He did talk about it. I'm not sure if he explained, because he did talk about going back to the birth of Christ and all that kind of stuff. It's just in the show the DeLorean just moved from point, but in different times, right?
Yeah.
But he did kind of touch on it, but I don't think they ever actually got into it. At least not that I remember. But who knows? But also, what you were saying, Kev, about the deja vu, I also think that might be tied into the multiverse, in that, when we see something, and we think, I've seen this before, or I've done this before, maybe we have, but it's ourselves in another reality that has done that. And because we're connected on a quantum level, we're kind of remembering what they did, right? Or, and this is getting into more time travel, timey-wimey stuff, I also have the theory that time is actually not a straight line, but rather a loop. That when we die, we just are reborn again as ourselves, and we start over again. That's one of my theories out there, and then when we experience deja vu, we're remembering what we've already done the last go around, right? Or maybe times before that. So I don't know about you guys. Like, when I was a kid, I used to have deja vu a lot more. Like, I used to experience it quite regularly. But as an adult, I don't experience it as much. And I'm wondering if that may be because, in this, you know, getting back to this theory, that time is a loop, maybe this loop, I'm living a different life than I have before. I'm doing things differently than I've done before. You know, I went right when I used to always go left at some point, right?
Yeah.
But, anywho, do you guys have any more theories before we call this a topic? All right. This was our Mandela Effect discussion. Before we move on to our Ender segment, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. Jason, where can we find you, sir?
As always, nerdylifeofmine.com, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, and both of them are nerdyviking42.
Excellent. And Kevin, where can we find you on the internet, sir?
You can find my blog and all the usual social media platforms at Masked Ephemera, and you'll know it's me with the picture of a mask over a VHS tape.
Excellent. And this is when I go into my the little script I do have. Thank you for taking the time to download and or listen to this podcast. We appreciate any feedback you can give us. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or at podbean.com. Also, we'd like to hear from you. You can contact Chris, who is the producer of this podcast, by email at chrisloc1701@yahoo.ca. That is chrisloc1701@yahoo.ca. Or you can contact Chris on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at ChrisLock1701. Be sure to check out the Pop Culture Pub and Podcast on Facebook. We have a group on Facebook, which this podcast spun from. And it's a good group. You know, I and other members of the group are constantly adding pop culture stuff to that that Facebook group. I also am an admin at the Incredible Fans of the Incredible Hulk group on Facebook, so be sure to request to join that group and request to join the Pop Culture Pub and Podcast group, and I will be sure to let you in on the fun. But from what my 13-year-old daughter told me tonight, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but apparently Facebook is for old people. So I don't know if you guys were, I don't know if you knew that. Listen,
I tried figuring out Snapchat and I gave up.
Yeah. Well, my daughter said Facebook's for old people. And I said, but hun, I'm on Facebook. And she said, yeah, you're old. And I said, I'm not even 40 yet. I'm going to be 40 right away, but yeah, apparently Facebook is for old people. But anyway. If you, and I also do a blog. I'm at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. All right, gentlemen, let us move on to our Enders segment. So I asked the gentlemen their nominees for the best new show of 2019. So let's go around the table and see what you guys think for the best show of 2019. I have it down to three. I do have a top one. I think it's at number one right now. It might change, but for now, it's at my number one. But, Jason, for you, what is the best new show of 2019?
Currently, Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Nice.
And the other one that's runner-up, I just watched the first episode for it, but I really enjoyed it on Netflix.
Which one?
The Witcher.
The Witcher. I have not seen that yet. Is it good so far?
It is really good. I mean, if you followed, read the book series or the graphic novels, that plus it's actually really good. It's definitely the action, I feel, is a lot. It's more steady. I actually almost like it better in some parts.
Is that the show that I saw an article where they said like the fights put Game of Thrones to shame. Like the fights are really well choreographed.
Yeah, it's definitely very. Yeah, it's got what's his? He played Superman.
Henry Cavill.
Thank you. My memory is not good today. But yeah, he's the main star of the show, so it's really well done. The CG for it is actually, for being Netflix, I was completely surprised. So they definitely kind of stepped their game up a little bit. So, but I only watched one episode, but I think Mandalorian is definitely my top pick.
Awesome, Kevin. Throw the question to you.
Well, I haven't gone through as much as I want this year. The only thing, and I'm not even up to date, but I'm also loving Mandalorian. But, it's still so new and all. So I went to my wife because she has been burning through shows a lot quicker than I've been. So she had two. Good Omens, she said, was absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
She had to read the book all over again. Was so excited for it and just wants there to be more, but isn't sure how there could be or would be.
Okay.
And then this one came out of nowhere. Did you know Facebook has their own shows?
Yeah, I had heard. I see ads, but I haven't actually watched any of them.
So she just burnt through, and I can't burn through it yet because I have to listen to the podcast first. There's a show called Limetown. And it's based on a podcast. And the story is that there is a town set up. And this is just, I've only done two episodes of the podcast. I haven't done the show yet. But a town is set up as a social experiment. Maybe it's religious. Maybe it's cult. Maybe it's a company. I don't know yet. I'm not that far into the mystery. But a town is set up for some sort of social experiment. And out of nowhere, something happens and the police are blocking it off and not letting anyone in, and the news is there and they're not letting anyone in, and finally everyone leaves and the news comes in and all 300 people in the town are gone. No explanation, no evidence, no nothing. And then it just becomes this mystery. So Facebook has a show which my wife burnt through in 2 days, got the podcast, was just like, leave me alone, I have to get through this. Was just immersed in it. And now there's apparently a book as well, which she found out she's getting for Christmas, and is just like, it's almost like the closest example I have is when that first Cloverfield trailer hit, and a lot of us were deep diving on the internet for anything to expand the story, and that's what this has been like. And there's a Facebook show for it.
Excellent. And what's it called again?
Limetown.
Limetown. Okay. I'm writing that down.
Yep. So she said she did the show first and then did the podcast. She wished she did the podcast first and then the show. So that's the way I'm going to try to do it.
So, like, what is the podcast exactly? Like, it's part of the show?
No, it was the podcast at first. And again, I've only listened to the first two. But it's done like Serial was, or any of those true crime podcasts. It's a woman just talking and she's narrating, and then she'll say, and here's a clip of that, this phone call, here's a clip of that interview, hey, I was meeting this person and I turned on my recorder and they don't know, but here's a recording of that. And she's just narrating this story, but the production is incredible on it. You're right into it, and it's done like it's a true crime thing. So everything's believable.
Interesting.
But yeah, and the podcasts were like a good half hour, 45 maybe. Like I was knocking out a couple of them during, I did one during my drive to work, and then they did a freaky ending. I was like, I can't listen to this while driving. And it turned out my wife listened to it while she was alone at the house, and she's like, nope. I can't do it. So it's really well set up, dramatic.
Excellent. All right. Well, for me, to piggyback on what you were saying there, Good Omens, I definitely want to check that out because I love, what's his name there? David Tennant.
Yep.
So yeah, I got to watch that. That's on my list, my ever growing list that I never seem to get around to, you know, very slowly. So definitely I'm agreeing with you guys. I'm thinking The Mandalorian's going to take number one for me for the year, probably by the end of the year, for a number of reasons. One of the things, you know, like Baby Yoda. You know, Baby Yoda is the character I never knew I needed. Man, I love that character. And one of the things I appreciate about The Mandalorian is that it's an all-ages show. Like, don't get me wrong, I love a lot of violence. You know, I can handle violence. But it's nice to have a show that you can just sit there and watch with your family and not have to worry, you know, about having to push pause or whatever, you know, like something bad's going to happen that you don't want your kids to see or whatever, or something that's going to be awkward, which leads me to my other two picks that do... I think The Mandalorian stands out above them just a little bit. Second place, I would say, is Watchmen. I'm really enjoying Watchmen. It seems like the last few episodes they've just been hitting it out of the park. And one thing I appreciate, and I never realized, I love watching shows on Netflix and Amazon and stuff where you get the whole seasons and you can just binge. I think that's awesome. But I also appreciate it when they come out once a week and you have that week in between like that, like with The Mandalorian. I love that they're doing that. At first I didn't like that. I was like, I want to see the whole thing, but you know, it gives me time to prepare it, you know, and wait for Friday to come so I can watch the new episode. Same with Watchmen, you know, an episode comes out Sunday on HBO and then you have the whole week to, you know, it's great for the YouTubers out there that are doing the videos on, you know, like the Easter eggs of each episode and the episode breakdowns and all this other stuff. They have a week to get those out there, and you have a week to watch all that content and then get into the next episode. But Watchmen, unfortunately, is one of those shows that I got to have the remote near my hand because... there are some graphic scenes, not just violence. There's some graphic sexual scenes in that show sometimes. And it makes for very awkward watching when my 13-year-old's sitting there watching. And, yeah. Yeah, it's been a little awkward. And another one that's, you know, big on the violence, and but still a great show, and that's The Boys. From Amazon. Like, God, I love that show. Like, they did, what, eight episodes? And I blew through those eight episodes, and I was ready for more. Like, it was that good.
So I love Carl on that one. It's awesome.
Yes, I love Carl Urban. You know, I'm fingers crossed, I'm still hoping they do a Judge Dredd TV show with him. But in the meantime... in the meantime, I'm loving this. And that's one thing, like, I loved the Dredd movie that he did and the fact that he never took his helmet off. And I'm also loving that on The Mandalorian. Like, he did, on this last episode, he did take his helmet off, but you never saw his face, you know? So we do, because for the first three episodes, I'm like, that guy's got to eat at some point or something. Like, he's got, you know.
How do you sleep? And they do ask that, which is kind of, you know.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's got to come off at some point, but I love that they're staying true to the, you know, the Mandalorian mythos, you know, because one of the, underlying problems, like, say, in superhero movies, is, for example, is Spider-Man's always taking his mask off, right? And it's like, yeah, you got a secret identity, but you just, you know, showed your face to, like, a train full of people, you know? And it doesn't make a lot of sense. But from an acting perspective, like, I understand the actors want to see their face, you know, like, they don't want to act behind a mask, because what's the point of taking on that role if you're just going to do it behind a mask the whole time? So I could totally understand, like, why Carl Urban or Pedro Pascal would want to take those masks off so they could be seen, but I love that they're not going there. I'm loving that they're staying true to the characters. Have you guys watched The Irishman at all yet? Have you guys caught that?
No, not yet. That's definitely...
Yeah, I'm told it's good, but it is a three-hour movie. Like, we're talking Endgame running time here. So I plan on catching it this week at some point. But it is, you know, at least you can pause it. You know, like, Endgame... Honestly, going into that movie, I was really worried about having to take a whiz halfway through it, because I did not want to leave.
Right. But yeah. At
the same time, I'm like, ugh, you know, like, but I did. I managed to get through it. I didn't pee myself. I didn't have to, you know, pee in my popcorn bucket, you know, like, I was able to hold it. But speaking of Endgame, I'll throw it out there. For me, best movie of 2019. Out of all the movies I've seen, I haven't seen the Mr. Rogers one yet. I want to see that one. I'm sure Tom Hanks is amazing. But for me, best movie of 2019, Avengers Endgame. Kevin, what was your favorite movie of 2019?
So far. I'm taking it so far, Endgame as well. I was looking through all the movies I saw this year, and it wasn't that many. I think it was only like six or seven I saw in theater, and I haven't, you know, rented, borrowed, downloaded, whatever, any other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still Endgame. And then I was looking, I thought, all right, well, I want to see this movie. I want to see that movie too. I don't see anything else that's going to match it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see I can't imagine anything else matching that moment and the cheering and the excitement and the culmination and the buildup.
Yep.
And I hope it gets at least a token Oscar nomination. It'll never win. But if you're going to nominate 10 movies for Best Picture, throw that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, for me, you know, that movie, my enjoyment of a movie, the way where it makes it into my, like, top five list, it's gotta invoke emotions in me. It's got to make me feel, you know, like, Endgame, I laughed, I cried, I cheered, you know. It hit me on so many levels. It was an emotional roller coaster, and I've probably watched that movie, I want to say, at least 30 times now. Like I'm not even kidding. Like, this last weekend, I didn't watch it all the way through, but I watched, you know, the real, you know, my favorite scenes. You know, because now I got the Disney Plus app, so now I can just jump to whatever scenes I want. So yeah, this weekend I did that for Avengers Endgame and also The Empire Strikes Back, where I just jumped to the awesome scenes that I love. Jason, your nominee for Best Movie of 2019.
I'm going to have to concur with the three of you. Probably Endgame.
Excellent.
But having said that, Star Wars has still yet to come out. And, you know, I either it might be people, I'm hoping, but it's the end one, and so I'm just kind of like, I restarted binge watching all the Star Wars. I don't know. Oh. It's weird because it's... Huh?
Well, you kind of cut out there, Jason. I'll just jump in with what you were saying there. With The Rise of Skywalker, I don't know. I'm so worried, guys. I really am. You know, I just have a hard time thinking that they're going to be able to wrap it up successfully in this one movie. you know, like using Endgame as an example. Endgame, going into Endgame, we had Infinity War, which in itself was an amazing movie. And it set up so much, and it established so much that it really paid off for Endgame, right? It really made, even though, you know, Endgame was its own movie in its own right, it also had Infinity War backing it up, right? Whereas Rise of Skywalker has The Last Jedi. And The Last Jedi, I'm not going to jump on the hate bandwagon and say that was a terrible movie. I enjoyed it. You know, I really think they missed the mark, though, with it. There was a lot of missed opportunities for that film. I mean, Rise of Skywalker, you know, apparently Palpatine's back, and he's going to be the big bad. You know, it would have been good to have Palpatine show up at the end of Last Jedi or something. Like, if they had had some sort of cliffhanger, you know, like, you know, the revelation in the Empire that, you know, Vader was Luke's father. You know, if they had something like that in Last Jedi, I would have been, you know, more psyched about going into Rise of Skywalker. But I don't know. I got to, you know, to quote Han Solo and Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker and so many other people, I got a bad feeling about this. I hope I'm wrong.
Go ahead,
Jason.
I think it's fine. It's, I mean, there's some things I thought that they could have done better with Last Jedi. But I loved it for like all of it. It's like the Solo movie. It got a huge like, but I enjoyed it. I thought it wasn't like your typical Star Wars. It was a good heist movie.
Yeah.
But it was set in the Star Wars universe. And I don't know if people had a hard time trying to, you know, differentiate, but at the same time, that could be said about The Mandalorian. It's not your typical Star Wars, you know, but it's set in universe and it has all the lore to it.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think, I don't know, I'm kind of excited about Rise of Skywalker. I can definitely see your point about that. I definitely think if they kind of tied them in just a little bit better.
If some of the, like, my biggest problem with Last Jedi was what they did with Snoke. You know, like in Force Awakens, you know, they establish him as being the new big bad. And you know, you see more of him in Last Jedi. And, I mean, it was awesome. Like, at the beginning of the movie when he's throwing around General Hux there, you know, like he's like a, you know, a puppet or something. Like, he's that force powerful that he could do that is awesome. You know, that's almost like above Vader. You know, Vader could choke people out from a, you know, across a view screen, but to actually pick someone up and throw him around and wipe the floor with him, like that's extra powerful there. And then they just killed him like he was nothing. Like I'm still fingers crossed. I'm hoping in Rise of Skywalker we find something out about Snoke.
Right.
Like I'm very hopeful, and I loved his backstory with the fact that he wasn't actually a Sith. He's just a Force wielder that is not a nice guy. Like he's, you know, like he doesn't subscribe to, you know, I'm a Sith or I'm a Jedi. He you know, like that's why he had blue eyes, didn't have yellow eyes. Like I thought that was such a neat backstory to him. And then they just did a Darth Maul and cut him in half. But you know, at least with Darth Maul, he came back, is coming back. But I totally get what you're saying. Like with Solo, I did enjoy Solo. It wasn't my favorite Star Wars movie. And same with Last Jedi. I mean, I didn't hate it. Like I don't understand the hate it gets.
It's why I've gotten to the point where it's just like I started ignoring a lot of it, and it's just like I don't feel people appreciate the fact that, I mean, how long did we wait to get the prequel? How long did we wait to get more to actually get the sequels we wanted, or like that third section of the, you know, that nine-part trilogy or nine-part movie set that's always been rumored, you know, and it's like how many years, and it's like they're finally making more and then some, and it's just like, can't you just enjoy the fact whether some be bad, some be good? I mean, they're like, not all the Marvel movies are gems.
Yeah, well, my wish, like, and this is one of my apprehensions with Rise of Skywalker going into this, like I said, you know, I got a bad feeling. I just don't know how you can wrap everything up in this one movie. You know, I kind of wish they would just say, like, I don't understand who made this rule that it has to be a trilogy. Why not make a fourth one? Make episode 10. You know, like have this be the first of a two-part ending of this franchise. Like, I just, you know, and with there being, having been no buildup of Palpatine or even, you know, like a Easter egg of, you know, like, oh, he might be back or he might be coming out there or he's been pulling, you know, he's been doing the Phantom Menace thing and pulling the strings from behind the scenes, you know, like any kind of hint of that leading up to this, but there was nothing, you know? So I don't know. I could be completely wrong. This may be the movie of the year. I don't know. I just don't know. But anyway,
that was quite the tangent.
Yeah. So since we are talking about Star Wars, I will throw this out there that apparently the Mandalorian season finale synopsis has been released as of today. So this is for the season one finale. And apparently it's pretty brief. And it just says the Mandalorian faces off against an unexpected foe. So the question is, who could this unexpected foe be? And why would it be unexpected? Right. So I got a fanboy theory out there. I'm thinking he's gonna face off against Boba Fett. I'm thinking Boba Fett because I don't think in this new canon, I don't think they've established that he got out of the Sarlacc pit. If I remember correctly, I think it was hinted at or something in those Aftermath books that he did survive, but I don't know if it's been officially established. And I know on, what was it, the third episode of The Mandalorian, when he was walking through the Mandalorian sanctuary or whatever, their hideout, and one of the Mandalorians was wearing armor very similar to Boba Fett, and everyone thought that was Boba Fett, and it turns out it wasn't. But what if he's actually out there? What if, you know, the remnants of the Empire that are after Baby Yoda, you know, the Moff that we have yet to see, played by Giancarlo Esposito, who played Gus on Breaking Bad, he plays Moff, I can't remember his character's name, but he's a Moff, and he's, you know, he's got some, those dark troopers working for him, those death troopers or whatever they're called, the stormtroopers that wear the black armor. He's got like a bunch of them working for him. What if he hires a bounty hunter to take on the Mandalorian? And what if this is a bounty hunter that's worked for the Empire before, who's produced results for the Empire? And that would be Boba Fett. Because, like, the synopsis says an unexpected foe. But who would be unexpected for the Mandalorian? Like, out of the, you know, ones we've met so far, like, one of the theories is it's that robot from the first one, that Taika Waititi was the voice for. Apparently the season finale is directed by Taika Waititi, so it kind of makes sense that maybe that, you know, that droid is back, or he could be playing that droid from Empire Strikes Back that this droid was based on, maybe.
True.
So, for you guys, who do you guys think is an unexpected foe that we might see?
I mean, it could be Nick Nolte, the whatever that character is. Maybe it's Baby Yoda himself. Maybe there's some sort of conflict, realization, turn, whatever.
Or maybe they, like in that small time that they had him, maybe they took some genetic material and made a clone of Baby Yoda?
I mean, anything. Maybe there's a reason that it was a threat.
Well, okay, so what are you guys' theories on why the remnants of the Empire wants Baby Yoda? I'm thinking, and I know this is a popular theory, is that they wanted his genetic material, because they said that they told the Mandalorian he could be, you know, the asset or whatever that he was going to get could be brought back alive or dead, right? Because the droid bounty hunter was going to kill him, right? And then the Mandalorian hit the droid. So it's, you know, possible that the remnants of the Empire is wanting to make more clone troopers, and they want to inject them with, you know, some metachlorians to make them force-based troopers, possibly.
They want to corrupt them.
That could be too. Well, that doctor or whatever that was examining him, like one of the things that has been kind of established is the one patch he has on his jacket is very similar to the cloner's patch from Attack of the Clones that the cloners of Kamino have on their uniforms, and that the clone troopers had on their training uniforms. Also, maybe one of the unexpected foes, maybe, because the Mandalorian takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi, right? And yeah. Then The Force Awakens takes place 30 years after Return of the Jedi. So 25 years in the future, whatever, right? So what if this unexpected foe is Snoke? This is Snoke in the beginning, you know, maybe, you know, the backstory we didn't get from Snoke in The Last Jedi, maybe, you know, the powers that be at Disney or Lucasfilm or whatever had that in mind. Like, you know, we don't have to really address Snoke in the movies. We can bring him in to one of these shows that we're going to be doing in the future. And maybe we'll meet a younger version of Snoke in The Mandalorian. Maybe he, you know, it's him taking over the remnants of the Empire and turning it into the First Order. You know, maybe, you know, the reason why Snoke is so messed up, like his face is all mangled and stuff, is maybe the Mandalorian did that to him. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I guess the season finale, from what I understand, drops December 27th, so just after Christmas. All right, well...
They could tie it in quick.
Oh, yeah.
The timing lines up, you could tie it in real quick.
Mm-hmm. And with it being after the release of Rise of Skywalker, you know, who knows? Like, it could tie into that movie directly, and we just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, so before we call this an episode, in the last few days, the trailers for the upcoming Black Widow movie came out, and the new 007 trailer was just released, I believe, today. So let's talk about Black Widow first. This is coming out May 2020. What are your guys' thoughts on the Black Widow? I personally enjoyed the trailer. I'm interested to see when this takes place. Given her long red hair, I'm wondering if it happens after the snap of Infinity War. You know, when she's trying to find herself, when she's struggling. I'm wondering if some of those things that we saw in Endgame, like, for example, like in her office when she's, you know, has that meeting with Cap when he shows up to do his laundry or whatever, and Ant-Man shows up, and you see those ballet shoes sitting on that chair. I'm wondering if maybe those are her sister's. You know, maybe she's, you know, maybe they're... I think there's Easter eggs in that scene that we don't know yet because we haven't seen the Black Widow movie.
I think if it's after snap, there's just too many people around. I think it's maybe after first Avengers movie. Okay, I want to be hero. I want to get the red off my ledger, whatever heck that means. Let me clear my name so I can continue being a hero.
Yeah.
So that... I think it's after first Avengers movie.
See, I don't like just based on her hair, like with it being so long and it being in a braid in the back, it was very reminiscent to me of Endgame, of how she wore her hair in that movie.
But she needed her hair dye touched up in Endgame, which I thought was the whole point of, like, hey, half the world's gone, so we don't have all of our hair care products anymore.
Maybe. I never thought of it that way.
Her first appearance in Iron Man 2, she had long hair. It wasn't braided, but it was long and curly.
That is true. She does go through her different hairstyles, so that I guess you can't really use that as a gauge, because she does change it up quite often. Jason, what were your thoughts on Black Widow?
Oh, Jason, I think is muted and tapped out for a moment.
Oh, I see he was muted. I didn't really realize he was tapped out. But okay, well, we'll just continue. So. I loved seeing what's his name from David Harbour, I want to say his name is, from Stranger Things. I loved seeing him. It's the Guardian, right? That's the character that he
Red
plays.
Red Guardian, yep.
Yes,
Guardian, yeah.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved seeing him in that uniform. I loved the memes that, you know, he's you know, if you put, you know, Fat Thor and Cap into one person, that would be him.
And they did the Dragon Ball Trunks Goku,
yeah,
fusion thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
What killed me is years ago I was at a Kmart when they were still around in the U.S.
Yep.
It might be like a handful floating around. But they had this Kmart exclusive Marvel Heroes pack, and I think it was like Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Red Guardian. And I thought, why in the hell is there a Red Guardian figure in this three-pack and this all movie, you know, movie-looking Cap, movie-looking Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
It's like, this is just absurd. Yeah, because that's how far back their plans go. That's why everyone thinks there's going to be a Nova movie, because there's Nova toys and Nova's on the Spider-Man cartoon, and, you know, it's coming at some point.
Yeah.
But they absolutely have all of these minor characters planned out, and let's have toys, let's have cartoons, let's have this, let's have that, to get your general audience familiar with them. So there's no good reason that anyone should know who Red Guardian is, based on the comics alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. But everyone's about to. And Taskmaster, God, that's a bad outfit, though. Taskmaster is such a cool-looking villain, and that is not it.
Yes, I know a lot of people were complaining about that, and I'm wondering if maybe that's not Taskmaster. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Or he changes costumes throughout the movie or something. There's 100 ways that could go.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in what Marvel's doing. Like they tend to not screw up, or, you know, and if they do make changes, they do it for the better. So I don't think this is the final version of Taskmaster, like you said. I think we might see a change. But of course, they're not going to show us everything in the trailer, right?
No. And her sister or whatever, her fellow Black Widow there, looks just like she does in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, I think it's a Greg Horn cover, and it's pretty much right off the page.
Yeah, yeah. They it looks like they did a good job, and what's his name is back as Thunderbolt Ross. So that's why I'm kind of wondering, like, where he's going to fit into this. Because, yeah, we don't know what happened to him after the snap. Did he get snapped away? We know he was brought back, obviously. He was at Tony Stark's funeral, but we don't know what happened between Infinity War and Endgame. Or when this takes place.
I wonder if they leave it vague, because it's... All we know is it has to be before Endgame. That's all we really know. Yep. So I wonder if they're going to leave it a little vague and open, so depending on what they need as they set up, you know, the next major event, the next major villain, they can kind of put it this in anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. I have a prediction. A theory, if you will. Because one of the complaints that I read was, what's the point of this movie? ? You know, this character's dead. Why are we making a prequel movie? And that was a complaint I read. So my theory is, I think the film ends with Cap returning the Soul Stone to Vormir and Black Widow being restored to life. Because we don't like the Red Skull, like when, you know, in Infinity War and in Endgame, you know, when Thanos went to get the Soul Stone, when, you know, Hawkeye and Black Widow went, he tells them, you know, that it's an everlasting exchange, that a soul for a soul, right? But that's assuming the person that takes the Soul Stone keeps it, right? So what happens when it's returned? Like, it says a soul for a soul. So if Cap's giving the Soul Stone back, shouldn't he get a soul in return? I know this is, you know, the exchange or economics of Infinity Stones is not known. But my theory is that when Cap goes to take that back, she gets restored to life, and she'll be alive again. And then we might get future movies with Black Widow. Or maybe this is how the movie starts. Maybe the Black Widow we're seeing in the movie, maybe this movie isn't a prequel at all. Maybe this is actually after Endgame. Like, I know that's very far-fetched, but if Marvel actually did that, that would be freaking awesome if they're able to pull that off.
See, my theory is that it's to introduce that blonde Black Widow, because there's been rumors for a while that they want to do Dark Avengers. Mm. So if you get her on the board, and we know U.S. Agent is coming in on the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, there's two down. So you could easily build up to Dark Avengers with, you got two of your cast members already in place.
Interesting. That's possible. But I'm just throwing this out there. It is December 4th, 2019. My theory about Black Widow being restored to life, and that we're going to see Cap in this movie at the end returning the Soul Stone, that's my theory. If it turns out it's true, I don't know. I guess I want someone to pat me on the back if I'm right.
Stars.
But Jason, do you have any? What are your thoughts on the Black Widow trailer? And do you have any predictions?
I loved it. I was really excited to see the Red Guardian. Especially with, I just know him as Hopper.
Yeah,
that's just what I call him. He's Hopper.
I love that guy, David Harbour. And he was the new Hellboy, and I heard that's a bad movie, but I've seriously been thinking about just watching it just for him.
I haven't watched it yet. My friend, I kind of trust his opinion because he is an absolute snob. Or I mean, oh my God, it's like I can't go to movies with him. It's just like, oh, but he said like he really liked it. He said, yeah, it's gory. He says, because I can see why people would be very off put, you know, because it's like the Ron Perlman Hellboys are more, you know, I guess like kid friendly in that aspect. They're not gory, really. Yeah. You know, you have your colorful blood and everything else and the slime and whatever ooze. But he said this one is definitely like, you literally have a demon ripping a guy in half by the legs, or you have someone being cut and, like, you know, being dismembered in some way, shape, or form. Like, it's literally in your face, an extremely gory, like, comic book movie. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, and I still haven't watched it. I do want to, like, I have been hesitant about it, but anyways, off topic, but I was really excited to see him as the Red Guardian, and I really enjoy this. Like, it does seem like a prequel, but at the same time, it does kind of seem like it's there's hints of it where it suggests it's not a prequel. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how she's talking about how she's going back to where it all started. She's trying to figure out who she is, you know. And so I'm kind of curious, so like, maybe is that kind of a play on, like, she came back and she's trying to figure out her identity again? Or is it something like they're actually literally, like, it is a prequel movie, you know?
Well, that I don't know if you, because I know you had to step away, I don't know if you caught that, but that was one of my theories, was that the movie may end or begin with Cap taking the Soul Stone back to Boromir, and you know, like the soul for a soul exchange. So if he brings back the Soul Stone, should he not get a soul in return? And would that not be Black Widow, since she was the one sacrificed for the stone? Like, I really would love that if that was the twist.
Yeah, that would be cool. It'd be interesting. I'm very excited about it. I know Lily, my oldest, she watched the trailer for it the other day, and she was completely ecstatic for it.
Awesome.
So Black Widow has been one of her favorites, and so she's like, you know, it's, yeah.
Well, like, she did such a good job. Like, Scarlett Johansson, I think, was amazing in that role. It's a shame it took so long for them to actually pull a trigger on this. You'd think this one would have been a no-brainer. But yeah, I am glad that they're getting around to it, and you know, I think it looks great. But so the second trailer that just dropped today was the one for the new James Bond film. What's it called again? No Time to Die? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. And I didn't realize this, but they're using for the title of the movie, for the posters, they're using the same font that they used for The Love Boat, which I think is an interesting choice. So is this, maybe that's a hint that this is going to be a love story. Because I know, like, just based on the trailer, like, his girlfriend from the previous film, I can't remember that actress's name, but she's, I don't know, she's one of my favorite Bond girls. I think she's absolutely beautiful. She obviously betrays him in some way, you know, given this trailer. And, you know, we got a glimpse at Rami Malek playing the bad guy in this film. And we also see Blofeld, which I thought was a nice surprise, that Christopher Waltz is, you know, coming back in this film in some capacity, if anything, for a Hannibal Lecter type cameo. But yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I love Daniel Craig as 007. You know, I've been a big fan of these films. Like, honestly, the last film wasn't as great for me. Like, you know, like I said, the Bond girl was beautiful. Dave Bautista playing the muscle, I thought, was awesome. You know, the whole Blofeld thing, I thought that could have been a little bit better. But I mean, the one before that, Skyfall. That, to me, that like that's probably my favorite James Bond movie. I loved Skyfall. So I have a lot of high hopes for this film. And from what I understand, I think the director's actually a Canadian guy. So I'm pretty excited about that, too, that this James Bond film is actually being directed by a Canuck, a fellow Canuck. But, all right, well, gentlemen, what were your thoughts on the 007 trailer? We'll start with you, Jason. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I was just kind of, it looks good. I was definitely, I know there's been a lot of turmoil and stuff behind the movie, but it, this was actually kind of like, I enjoy the aspect of him kind of coming, trying to come out of retirement, meeting a new 00, you know, and so they kind of have a little pissing match, you know, the old versus new type of deal. And it's kind of, it looks pretty good. I'll definitely give it a shot. Like I haven't, I love Casino Royale. Skyfall was good. But I enjoyed Daniel Craig as James Bond, but I think Pierce Brosnan was probably, I don't know, I've always been a big fan of like the old Connery to, you know, Roger Moore and that, but.
And I wouldn't mind them changing it up. Like, you know, like I know there's been lots of rumors, you know, like Idris Elba maybe taking on the role or Hiddleston or whoever. Like, I wouldn't mind them changing it up. Like, if this was Daniel Craig's final film, I'd be okay with that. The only gripe I have going into this whole, you know, 007 coming out of retirement. They already did that with this Daniel Craig one. I think it was either the last movie or it was Spectre. I can't remember where he like was off. They like where the movie opened up where they thought he died or something, and then he went away, and then they basically dragged him back. I want to say it was Skyfall, and he kind of had to like, you know, he had to get back in shape, and like they weren't even gonna like give him his 007 designation because he was too out of shape. Even though, you know, he had like an 8-pack and, you know, more ripped than most people. But yeah, they already did that. Like that storyline. I don't understand why they're doing it again. But anyway, that's my only gripe. Kevin, what did you think?
Did nothing for me. I can respect it. I can understand why people are into it, but Bond has just never done it for me. Don't know why, it's just never fallen into my wheelhouse. So I watch a trailer, it's just like, all right. You know, no desire to see it, no desire to rent it, run out. And I don't know why, but it felt like when I was younger, every Bond movie seemed like their own thing. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like I would have to watch at least a few movies to know what the heck is going on for this, and I just have no interest in, you know, you didn't sell me on one, much less selling me on watching like 2, 3, 4, however far back I'd have to go for Daniel Craig.
Yeah, I totally, because this is, yeah, his fifth one, I want to say. Quantum of Solace, Skyfall. Yeah, this is number 5. Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from, Kev. Like, for years, I was not a James Bond guy at all. It wasn't actually until Casino Royale came out, and I watched it, and I was like, wow, I really like that. And I went back, and subsequently, I think I have all the James Bond movies on DVD. I went out and bought them, because I remember at that time, they re-released them, and they were selling them for, like, $10 a piece or something. And I think eventually I even got some of them cheaper than that, like where they were trying to basically get rid of them and selling them for like $5 or whatever. So I got the whole collection, and I went through this phase where I went through a marathon of watching them. Yeah. I like it, but I totally get why people don't get into it, because I mean, I didn't get into it for years. Like that last one that Brosnan did, The one with Halle Berry. I can't remember what that one was called. But anyway, that was back when they still had the... Do you guys have Columbia House in the States still, or is that gone? Yeah. It's still in the States?
It might be gone, but I mean, I remember it, yeah.
Okay. Like, it's gone in Canada now. Like, I think 2011, declared bankruptcy or whatever. But anyway, it's non-existent. But back in the early 2000s, I used to be a part of the Columbia House Movie Club, and I forgot to return my card one time, and they sent me the Pierce Brosnan James Bond one with Halle Berry. I literally held on to that until Casino Royale came out. It just it stayed on my shelf. I never watched it. And then when Casino Royale came out, I was like, hey, I got that other one that I bought like 8 years earlier or whatever it was. Well, maybe it wasn't eight. Maybe it was 4 years. 4 years earlier or whatever it was, and I watched it, and it was okay. I enjoyed it. But it just never really did anything to me. Like, to be honest, my first Bond was Timothy Dalton. I watched his one movie, I remember, when I was a kid, and to me, that was James Bond, Timothy Dalton. It wasn't until years later that, Sean Connery was, and then Roger Moore, and then George Lazenby, and everyone else, Timothy Dalton, and then Pierce Brosnan, and now Daniel Craig. But the Craig movies I've enjoyed for the most part. I thought Spectre was kind of a misstep, because Spectre, basically, the way they establish, I don't know, I think this might be what happens with Palpatine, to be honest with you. Basically, when Spectre came out, they established that Blofeld was actually the puppet master pulling all the strings all along, in the first three movies that Daniel Craig was in, but it didn't make any sense to me. It was like, no, he couldn't have been, because in the first two movies, they established that there was this evil the secret organization called Quantum. Because back in the Roger Moore days, or not Roger Moore, Sean Connery days, and then Lazenby, and I think they popped up once in the Roger Moore movies, Spectre was that organization, where they were this evil global organization that was trying to take over the world, and Blofeld was like the leader of Spectre and all that other stuff. But because of all the legal problems and stuff, they couldn't use Spectre in the new movies because the rights to Spectre were owned by somebody else, so they couldn't use them in James Bond movies. So the rights to Spectre or whatever were released after Skyfall. So in the first two movies, they introduced the secret organization called Quantum, and that was basically going to be like the new version of Spectre. And then after Quantum of Solace, they just kind of didn't talk about them anymore. Like, they just kind of disappeared. And then Skyfall was like its own thing, and then Spectre came out, and then Spectre was the evil organization, and they actually were controlled Quantum, and they actually did this. And I'm thinking to myself, no, they didn't. Like, because you guys didn't even have the rights at the time. Like, how could you have possibly tell us that this was the plan all along when it couldn't have been the plan all along? And I'm kind of worried that's what's going on with Palpatine, where, I was there the whole time, and, Snoke, that was me. I was the one pulling Snoke's strings. And it's like, were you, though? I didn't see that. And that's kind of like what they did with Blofeld, when he was like, well, you know that bad guy from Skyfall? Well, guess who sent him? I sent him. And it's like, no, you didn't. You couldn't have. Like, it made no sense that they tried to do that. But anyway, I digress. I'm really not selling this movie. I'm doing a poor job selling this movie. But I'm looking forward to it. I will go to the theater and watch it. It could be a complete train wreck, but, I love Daniel Craig. He's great. Despite some of unfortunate choices that they've made in these films. So yeah, 007, that comes out in April 2020, and then Black Widow, May 2020. So it'll be a good couple months of movies anyway. Well, I will call this an episode. And again, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub. This was our Mandela Effect episode, and we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.